Sam. That's a great song offering. What was last Sunday, boys and girls?
Easter.
Hey, you want me to point at you like? Okay, Pastor Achil Wong was here. If you missed out hearing how Lord is using him to touch people with leprosy and malnourished children, a very good message. A man living out Christ. But it was Easter, as right. Okay. What do we celebrate on Easter? One, two, three.
Jesus is alive.
Yeah. You got it. He's resurrected. That's that big word, right? The resurrection of Christ. That's what we celebrate on Easter. Remember he appeared in different ways to different disciples and followers when he rose from the dead? Yeah, some good reunions with his disciples at least twice, and you know, Thomas could check him out and see the wounds. And one of my favorite resurrection stories is down at the beach where Jesus is having a fish fry, and he's got some bread, and they pull in, I think, 153 large fish. And we talk about that on our Easter sunrise service at 6 a.m. That's the passage we look at. So we're down at Deep Beach, and you can imagine Jesus being there and saying, "Hey, guys, you hungry? You know, come on and have some fish." But one of his last appearances was on a mountain of Galilee. We don't know exactly which mountain that was, but he talked about something called the Great Commission. That's what he talked to his disciples right before he planned to return to heaven. The Great Commission. Have you ever heard of that, boys and girls? Have you? I know some of the big boys and girls are going, yeah. I've heard. The Great Commission. Now great, what is great? I remember when I was growing up, I always had Tony the Tiger, what was that, Sugar Frosted Flakes, and he said, "They're great." You know, you couldn't wait to eat sugar and corn flakes. But yeah. But great, what does that mean? What does that word mean to you guys? Young people, shout it out. Great. Any other words for great?
Very good.
Big.
Awesome.
I like these little kids down here. Okay. Yeah, I said, you know, it's huge, it's large, it's important. It's a great commandment. It's not the great suggestion. It's the Great Commission. It's the big one. This is the reason you and I are on planet Earth. That's how big it is. Okay? This is the big one. Commission. Now, that's a harder word, so I'll help us out really quick on that one, okay? This dictionary I looked up on the internet said, the act of committing or entrusting a person or group with supervisory power or authority. That's a fairly good definition. It might be a little bit over some of our young people's heads, but basically Christ is saying, you know what? I went to the cross and I died. I was accused of crimes I never committed, and they executed me, and they freed a murderer. And just like I had told them, I would rise on that
third day.
That's what I did. And you know, all authority on heaven and earth is mine. All of it. You know, President Obama has some authority. Xi Jinping has some authority. We can go on and on and name all the rulers of this planet. But Jesus is more authoritative. He has more authority. He is the ultimate. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the Messiah that went to the cross and conquered death. And he's saying, now look, everything is me. You know what? But I've got some authority, and it's over heaven and earth, and I'm asking you to do something. It's huge. It's big. It's important. It's what you need to give your life to, what I need to give my life to, and that's this Great Commission. And that's what he talked about before he gets ready to go back to heaven. And these are very familiar words, those of you who know your scriptures, And if not, well, let's look at it. This is the Great Commission from Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, all. Let's all say it together. All. Now, your mom and dads have some authority over what you eat and drink and when you go to sleep and all that, right? Some, right? Well, Jesus has all authority. Not just for earth, but in heaven and on earth, and has been given to me. And now he tells us, here it comes, here it comes. Here's the great thing, here's the huge thing you're supposed to do is go. Do life. And do what when you're doing life? Therefore, go and make disciples. That's what you're supposed to be doing. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. This is the huge, important commission. And make disciples not only of DB, but of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, some may say, well, that's just for those guys up on the mountain in Galilee that day, right? I mean, that was just those first 12 people, those first 12 disciples. No. You see, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, including this great commission. Again, it's not a suggestion. It'd be nice if you'd make disciples. This is why he went to the cross. Yeah, that blood runs red and it washes me white from my sin. And now I can do what? I can go make disciples. Because I know who the king is. I know my reason for being on planet Earth. Is to get ready for the kingdom. And I want all my friends and I want all my loved ones to know Jesus. And so how are they going to hear about Jesus unless somebody speaks and talks to them about him? And that's you and my, our job. Okay, so we are supposed to go and make disciples. And I just want to ask you, if we're going to make disciples, we should be able to answer, what does a disciple look like? Does anybody have a wood shop in Hong Kong? Very few people have wood shops. Does anybody grow up as a young person, your dad or your grandfather had a wood shop? You go and watch them make furniture or make something. I remember I wasn't too handy as a person. I'm still not the really handyman type of guy. But my first project in shop, when I was studying, I had shop 1 year, and I made a baseball bat. You got this square piece of lumber, and you put it on a lathe, and you get these tools out, and you somehow it ended up looking kind of like a baseball bat. I kept that baseball bat. I think I still have it in my brother's attic in North Carolina. But I knew what a baseball looked like, a baseball bat. Baseball is a game Americans play with a big stick, kind of like a cricket bat. But anyway, to make a long story short, I know what it looks like, and you had to do all these diagrams and things, so you made it. But what does a disciple look like? Boys and girls, do you have any idea what a disciple looks like? Well, I just happened to get some artistic renderings from ancient history. these are the original 12, okay? And they all look kind of the same kind of stature, don't they? Little roly-poly guys. Kind of what I would imagine the Snow White and her seven dwarfs, But different facial hair, different features and all that. But I think probably the disciples looked a little bit more like this. And we know that many of Jesus' first disciples were fishermen. The scriptures give us an insight that at least seven of them were fishermen. We know that for sure, seven. One was a tax collector, which was a very interesting profession in those days. You were siding with the Roman government and you weren't really being true to Israel. And that was Matthew. And then you got four, we just really don't know for certain what their occupation was. But disciples are not restricted to being fishermen, okay? Disciples aren't restricted to being men only. No, disciples include all the followers of Christ, all who have come to that foot of that cross and said, yes, I believe Jesus, you died for me, you rose from the dead, and now I live for you. I give you my life as an offering, all of me. I follow you now. That's a disciple. But Jesus gives us an insight what a disciple looks like. We abide in his words. That actual verse comes from John 8, 31 through 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, If you abide in my word, you are what? Truly my disciples. You're truly my disciples if you abide in my word. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8, 31 through 32. So, you know, when you look for, is this person really a disciple of Christ? I have to ask myself, and I have to ask this of me. Am I truly a disciple of Christ? Do I abide in his words? Now, what does that look like? What does Jesus mean, abide in his word? Boys and girls, now look, big people don't say anything, okay? Just boys and girls. How many, raise your hand, you don't have to say it. How many of you know what the word abide means? A-B-I-D-E. Abide. Now, if you know it, just raise your hand. Okay, let me help you out on that, okay? Abide is where we live, where I'm at home, okay? I eat at home, I sleep at home, I play at home. Is there any parent here that can beat their child in a video game? I don't think that's ever possible. But anyway, and you know, I just hang out. This is where I do life. This is where I abide. This is where I live. Okay, that's what it means. Now, what do we mean when we say abide in Jesus' word? Well, we live with his words. We do life with his words. So we read, meditate, delight in the word. Yeah, it's a great book. If you haven't read the whole thing, boys and girls, read through the whole thing. Mom and dad, if you haven't read through the whole thing. It's really, really so detailed, it blows your mind. And there's no external evidence from historical recordings that will say the Bible is false. Yeah, we read, meditate, delight in the word. You can't ever get enough. Every time you go through it, something's going to hit you. I've been reading recently in my personal devotions of Ezekiel and judgment on this city called Tyre. And Tyre was kind of like a Hong Kong, a Singapore, a Shanghai, a big city which thought it was so powerful and strong. And then God uses Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon to bring judgment on Tyre because they were so prideful. Does God still judge cities today and countries today who become very prideful? I think he does. We keep talking in my men's fellowship groups about the big bubble when it breaks. How's it going to break and what's it going to be look like? How humbled will the big money people be? How will it impact us? Well, anyway, read, meditate, delight in the Word. There's all kinds of stuff to get into that, the Word, but it all points to one thing, and that is Jesus. He is the sovereign Lord and King to whom we should fear and whom we should serve. And we think we've got everything because we've done everything on our own effort. Then we reach that position of pride like Tyre, the ancient city that has been destroyed, and none of us know where that is today. Well, we don't only read, meditate, delight in God's Word. We pray the Word of God. So when you read the Word of God, oftentimes it's like you look into a mirror and you see, uh-oh, I got a pimple here. What am I going to do? My daughter and Bonnie and Ruth and I, we watched the Big Fat Greek Wedding, and you know, on their wedding day, the girl has a pimple on her right ear, and she just really freaks out a little bit. And her dad uses Windex on everything to cure it, but the guy, he gets a pimple, he uses Windex to cure it, but she didn't. But when you look in the mirror of the Word of God, it forces you to pray because you begin to see, I've got a lot of pimples. And there's no Windex that can take that off. The only thing that can take that off is your blood, Jesus. Please forgive me. I got mad at mom and dad. I said things I shouldn't have said. I got mad with my sister and my brother. I hit them. I need to go ask for forgiveness. Make me more like you, Jesus. Make me a person who's controlled, who's loving and kind and gentle, and an obedient son or daughter. Flip it on the parent side. Make me, Lord, a more understanding father like you. Not one who provokes my children to anger. So we pray the Word. We abide in it. We're doing that. We are in the Word with mom and dad. The moms and dads don't wait till your kids say, "Hey, can we get in the Word?" You know, dads, this is as head of the house in the good sense. You should say, "Okay, let's try for 5 minutes every night. We're gonna have a little bit in the Word, and we're gonna pray together." It doesn't have to be long, but something regular. In the Word with mom and dad. We sing the Word. I mean, all the songs you're learning in kids' church, you take them home, I'm sure, and you sing them there. And this is singing the Word. Fellowship around the Word. That's why we come to church. It's because we've got this Word of God thing out here. We're talking about it, and that's how we talk with God, and God talks with us, and we fellowship around that. And then, of course, we share the Word with our friends. Boys and girls, do you have any Christian friends at school? I hope you can you know who those guys are. And if you can even sneak in some prayer time for those of your friends who don't know Jesus yet, and start talking. You know, how do we tell the gospel? How do we tell our friends about Jesus? How they can be friends with God through faith in Jesus? What's that all about? And of course, for us who are grown-up people, you know, look for someone in the workplace to whom you can pray with and share what God is saying. So, application. IT the Word. Okay. How many of you at least have one of those tools? Young people. Yeah, I see the hands going up. So most of us have either a smartphone or some kind of a tablet or a pad. Well, have you got some good Bible stuff on it? Have you? I hope so. These are two that you should have on there, okay? One is BibleGateway.com. That opens all kinds of things. You can get daily devotionals from BibleGateway.com. You can get every translation of English. If you want to go to the original Greek and Hebrew, you can get those translations. It's all free. You can do all kinds of word studies, and there's different Bible helps and everything. It's at BibleGateway.com. It opens up a big one. That should be on your favorite page, okay? BibleGateway.com. The other one is GotQuestions.org. I think that's a really good resource because you never know what your friends might ask you about, hey, you know, what about this Da Vinci Code thing? Well, you type that in, gotquestions.org, it comes, gives you a response, and you know how to, you can do it right there. You don't have to wait and say, hey, I'll do some research, get back to you in about a month. No, you can go and get all kinds of answers. Gotquestions.org. It's just a start. Adults, I have study Bibles on my devices, and I like the ESV study Bible, but you might like the NIV study Bible, you might like the Reformation study Bible, you might like whatever kind of study Bible, but you can get that, and it's right there on your device. You don't have to be online for that. You don't have to have a connection. You don't have to use any of your data with your plans. It's a hard copy that's on your it's a soft copy of the whole Bible on your device. So get something like that. Podcast. Adults, how many of you got different podcasts you listen to? See? There's some guys out there. Different podcasts, preachers from all around the world who are famous. You know, some make a lot more sense than me. You know, these guys, you can listen to those daily, weekly. The Joshua Project, how to recognize unreached people groups throughout the world. There's all kinds of great stuff out there to put on your devices. Okay? So let's, first of all, if we're going to abide in the Word, let's saturate our phones, our tablets, our laptops with stuff that can get us into the Word. How long are you on before a device like this, you know, either texting or surfing? And then how much can the Word of God be right there in front of you? Okay. Okay, set a goal. Read through the entire Bible with your kids. How many people have done that? Read through the entire... Let me pick on Grandpa Torgerson. Steve, did you ever get through the whole Bible with your kids? No. On purpose. Okay. You want to give them something to do when they get older. Okay. So there was no reason?
Yeah.
What's the reason?
Too much of the Bible is not good family reading. It's just better for personal reading. You can look at this, the numbers, the last half of numbers.
Right.
Some areas are just hard for parents to talk through with kids.
So right. Right. So I don't think we're anti-read the Bible, but Steve is pointing out that when you're going to have Bible time with your kids, let's make sure we're dealing with passages that are appropriate to the age group of your children. How many of you really love Leviticus? I mean, you know, I remember a lot of these guys get to be teenagers. Let's do Revelation, Dad. You know, you want to go all these different avenues. So you have to have wisdom. But I know Steve, I know him well, and he has read through the Bible many, many times, and he probably still is on a Bible reading schedule. And we encourage you as young people, when you're getting ready, like Mr. Lou getting ready to go to uni, you know, I would encourage you to read the whole thing. But basically, you're going to find that it's all fulfilled and pointing to how you relate to this person called the Christ. Everything that happened to the left of the New Testament, it's all pointing to Jesus. Everything that happens to the right of the Old Testament, it's all about Jesus. And how does that all fit? We'll talk a little bit more about that. Set a goal. Read through the entire Bible with your kids. Okay. How about we'll start with the New Testament, all right? Read that. And then some of those parts you might want to skip. It depends on your children's ages. One thing I'd like to introduce, and the elders were encouraging, we're trying to get at least 50 copies or more of these Living Life. Now, if you already have a daily Bible reading schedule plan that you're doing as an adult, that's fine. But I'm talking to you who do nothing but come to church on Sunday and hear the Word. You know who you are. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But I want you to do what? To truly be a disciple. Get in the Word and live in the Word. In one way, one little help might be this book. Okay. Bonnie's in it. I'm in it. We're trying to get the Filipina Fellowship to really get into it. We can hand you a book, but if you're not doing it every day, you know, get into it. Some of the men's groups, we're in the Word daily. We're doing different studies, different stuff. But abide in the Word. This is one thing to help you. What you do when you flip it open, you'll see that there's daily scriptures there, and you can mark it up, highlight it, circle it, do every kind. You can write in this thing. I love it. It's got little commentaries, the commentaries and questions, thought-provoking questions. They may not always be 100% spot-on, great analysis of the Scriptures, but you know what? They're always trying to point you and me to Jesus. So a good resource, Living Life. It's by Durino Ministries. If you look at one as you go out, they're available to you today, okay? Living Life. One other application is join a small group. I find that when you get to be, let's say you follow Jesus about 10 years, and you've got some good habits where you're daily reading the Word of God, and you're praying and having worship. I think that's good. That's great habits. But if you haven't ever been involved in small groups, you're missing something. For that's when we do something more than just dealing with learning truth. But we try to equip each other so we can go out and minister. How do we share our faith with our friends who don't know Jesus yet? How do we do mission? Like in August, we have an opportunity to go to Chengdu. How do we do mission here in DB to collectively next week with our Easter egg deal? So in small groups, you can encourage each other and equip each other to not only know truth, but how to even apply truth. How to be a husband, a wife, as scriptures exhort us to. How to be a parent. All these great teachings in scriptures, but when you're with other people in a small group, then you encourage each other and you try to equip each other and hold each other accountable. And of course, we pray for one another. One thing about AA that I really appreciate is their groupness. They recognize that, yeah, I'm an awful person. I've got this awful, awful problem called alcoholism. But they accept one another, and then they encourage each one another, hold each other accountable to stay sober. And then you have your sponsor, of course, whom you're very close to. But the groupness. Well, that's how Christ trained the 12, was in group. He didn't spend 1 year with one guy, 1 year with one guy. No, he did it together. His brief time of ministry of 3 years with these disciples. So join a small group. And for those of you who are new to DBICC and you've been starting to come as regulars, we're going to have coming up this thing called Discipleship 101. And basically what it helps us as a church is we really want you to become a member of our church. There's nothing in Scripture says you must be a member of a church in order to be saved. But we would like you to be more than just our partner. We'd like you to be a real part of this church and become a member. How many of you have gone through Discipleship 101 classes? Raise your hands. And you can see most people here have done that. Yeah. I do some special catering. I'm looking at Reinhardt up there. He's always one of these cafe guys on the fly. Missing Craig, it's been several weeks. I haven't seen Craig, you know. But we can customize the course for you. But basically, it's on a Saturday or a Sunday, 4 weeks, four hour and a half classes. And we go through who we are as a church, what we believe, and then how we try to act out on those beliefs. And give you a little bit more insight as to really what we believe and how we express that faith in DB. So Discipleship 101, you'll hear more about that. But this is particularly for you who are new to church, who've been coming recently and trying to see, well, is this a good church home for me? And I would encourage you to sign up. But in closing, I want us to remember the promise. Okay? So Jesus said to the Jews that believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." Okay, if you live with the words of Christ, you just don't just not a Sunday thing. It's part of your very fiber, your DNA, if you want to call it that. It's who you are. You're in the Word of God. If you are truly my disciples, here comes a promise. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will know, you will experience in your daily life, in your family life, in your work situation, in your school situation, you will understand that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Nothing matters but following Him and making disciples. And He will set you free to be what you were created to be, and that is a God glorifier. So we're not just talking about read something every day and be a good little person. Live. abide in the words of God. And I know you struggle. I struggle. We all think we got to do something else but abide in His word. And we got to stop that, okay? I'm not about filling this auditorium with people who do not abide in the word of God. But I'm all about, and I know people who are on the worship teams and the leadership of this church, we want to see you, we want to see us as a people of God who do what? Abide in His words. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you and praise you. For I know, for most of us, your grace has touched us in such a way that we have turned around, and we're not really there, Lord, where we were actually so abiding in your word and so close to you, because we know we all have need for improvement. But I want to praise you for those you have touched who want to know what it means to abide in your word, to truly be your disciples. With your eyes closed, I'm going to look up, and I just want to say, just wave your hands if you want to be a true disciple of Jesus. You want to be one? You want to be one? Okay. So, Lord, you see these hands, and it's most important is you see the heart. Now, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll give us power not to be hearers of your word only, but doers. That we will go and make disciples, teaching them to abide in your word. Bless the moms and dads. Bless the young people. I pray particularly, I think of Ben and Kelsey and others who are going off to uni. Lord, make these young people in your word. Get them in there. Mercy on them. And Father, for any man or woman who has gotten out of the habit of spending time in your word, I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll convict them. And they'll see that you're saying, come to me. I love you. Jump into my word and find life and be free to be the person I've made you to be. That's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.